Hey. Good morning. Convince me. Good morning. There we go. It's been a crazy morning. But you know, I have always experienced that when things get a little nutty and crazy and haphazard, it's at those times that the Lord has a blessing for us beyond our imagination. Amen. So I'm praying that this morning's message will bless and God will speak and encourage all of us through his word. I apologize if you had some problem with parking. Obviously, there's some street parking issues where at certain places you can't park, but anyone coming in now, we're just going to have them pull into the lot so that they can at least come in if anyone's on their way. So if for some reason after the service there's someone blocking you, just let one of our ushers know. We'll get you out as soon as we can, all right? Thank you for being patient with us this morning. Let's pray this morning. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that in the time that we have this morning, that you would be, oh Lord, as you always are, so gracious to us, to speak to us, to encourage us. Lord, we thank you for our Christmas music this morning, our children's presentation. I thank you for Russell and the worship team. I thank you for everyone who just worked so hard despite all of the obstacles this morning with the weather. And I thank you for everyone who's here this morning, Lord. And I pray that you would reward them and bless them for their effort by speaking to their hearts and encouraging them in your word. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke in chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, of course, the book of Luke is a familiar portion of Scripture, and indeed the children this morning brought us through an adaptation of the book of Luke and showing us in real time exactly how things were happening, although I'm not sure that Mary had as much soul as my little niece, but after all of these things, some interesting things took place in the lives of Joseph and Mary and little Jesus. And I want to talk to you about them. They're in the book of Luke in chapter 2 and verse 21. We read there that on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, that is Jesus, he was named Jesus, and the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Now, when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, I have to tell you right there, the first time I read that, I was a little confused. What on earth is going on? We just had the birth of Christ. We have the angels. We have the shepherds. We know from Matthew we have the magi coming up in the future. But at this point, right now, something interesting takes place in the lives of the family of Jesus. Joseph and Mary are following the law. Now, I think it's important to understand that Jesus came to redeem us, that is, to save us from the penalty of sin, that is, according to the law. You see, the law teaches us in the Old Testament that anyone who sins is guilty before God. Now, here's the thing, all of us sin. Amen? And because of that, there's this issue. We need the grace of God. We need redemption. And that's why we celebrate the birth of our Lord at this time of year. Actually, every day throughout the year, we celebrate the birth of our Lord. Not just because it's a wonderful story, it's the truth and it's history. And the truth is this, that had he not come as a little child, as an infant, we would still be dead in our trespasses and in our sins. Now, I think it's interesting that immediately following the Nativity, we learn of certain things that the Holy Family had to do in order to fulfill the requirements of the law. Now, you cannot understand this portion of Scripture at all if you're not familiar with a portion of Scripture in Leviticus. So I'm not going to ask you to turn there because most of you guys don't like to read Leviticus. I think that's the most unread book, at least in the New Testament. People will always say, oh, I'm reading through the Bible and, oh, I'm in Leviticus, you know. But I love this book because it speaks of the law, but it shows us what we've been saved from. And in Leviticus, we learn this about the law, and it's actually in Leviticus chapter 12. I'm going to read the whole chapter, very short chapter. I want you to see that when Mary gave birth to Jesus, there were specific requirements placed upon her. There were things that she had to do in order to fulfill the law, the ceremonial law. And we read about them here in chapter 12 of the book of Leviticus, where it says, "The Lord Jehovah said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, a woman who becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is unclean during her monthly period. Now on the 8th day, the boy is to be circumcised. Then the woman must wait 33 days to be purified from her bleeding. She must not touch anything sacred or go to the sanctuary until the days of her purification are over.'" Now that's if she had a son. If she had a daughter, it says, if she gives birth to a daughter, "for 2 weeks the woman will be unclean as during her period. Then she must wait 66 days to be purified from her bleeding." Wow. Lots of requirements. Laws, rules, regulations. This was the Jewish law. Many today who keep the Jewish law, the Orthodox of the Jews, follow these laws. Do you understand that this was a set of rules and regulations that must be followed? And certainly, Joseph and Mary were Jews. They accepted the responsibility to raise Jesus in a way that was consistent with the Old Covenant, for he had not yet saved us from it. I guess they're plowing the lot. Hopefully not with our cars in it. Well, let me go on to read here that when the days of her purification for a son or daughter are over, she is to bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a dove for a sin offering. He shall offer them before the Lord to make atonement for her, and then she will be ceremonially clean from her flow of blood. These are the regulations for the woman who gives birth to a boy or a girl. And if she cannot afford a lamb, that is, if she's too poor to purchase one or to sacrifice one, she is to bring 2 doves or 2 young pigeons, one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her and she will be clean. Do you start to appreciate that Jesus has fulfilled the requirements of the law when you read something like that? That he has saved us from all the regulations that were necessary for us to stand upright before God. In Christ, we've been made clean, amen? And these things are not the requirement placed upon us any longer, but in this time they were. And so we see the Holy Family, we see them following these things. First, there was the first 7 days of uncleanness, and during that time, she was not able to have any contact with anyone. And then you add to that the 8th day when they had to circumcise the child according to this portion of Scripture. And of course, they named the child Jesus after the angel's command. But then you have another 33 days. So now you're at a 40-day mark. And it's interesting because 7 is the number of completion or perfection and 40 the number of God's judgment. And now 40 days later, we read that Mary, having been restricted from the sanctuary for 33 days according to the law, she had to bring a burnt offering and a sin offering. There was blood that must be shed in order for her to be made right with God. Now that's interesting to me because those that would suggest that Mary didn't sin have to explain why she offered sin offerings. We're all sinners, every one of us, Mary included. And we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus, amen? So she presented these offerings, and these sacrifices made atonement for her, made her ceremonially clean. And the law also made provision for Joseph and Mary because, you see, they were poor. How do we know that? Do you remember what I just read in Luke? They brought 2 young pigeons, which was only a sign of their poverty. They couldn't afford a lamb. So Jesus grew up in a very poor family. I hear many people say, well, you know, I'm angry because I grew up in a depressed home, in a dysfunctional home. I grew up in poverty and other people have it so easy. Jesus knows what it is to live in poverty. He experienced that himself growing up. So brothers and sisters, Jesus can relate to our pain, our suffering, our difficulty. Now, Jesus was also her firstborn, obviously. And the law, and I won't read it for you, but in Exodus chapter 13, the law tells us that they were required to redeem this child, that is, purchase him back. Are you with me? Purchase him back from God, because God said in the book of Exodus that every male that opens up the womb belongs to him. And this was a commemoration of the Passover, or Pesach. This was a commemoration of their feast, but this was the truth they were told by God in the book of Exodus. It is really even predates the law. This was the custom that if a child was born, that child would have to be purchased back. There was a price that needed to be paid. It was called the price of redemption, and it was 5 shekels of silver. Silver is the metal of redemption. So there was this purchasing back that needed to take place. Do you see the symbols of redemption in this section? It is so important to understand what we're seeing here. We're seeing God telling us there is a need for you to be saved. And Jesus, his name incidentally, means Jehovah is salvation. Jesus is our salvation. He is our redeemer. He is the one who came to pay that price. The one that makes us ceremonially clean. The one that purifies us from our sins. He is the one that redeems us and paid the price of our redemption. And now we, like the firstborn of Israel, belong to God. Amen? All of those symbols come through this section. But as we begin here with the law of God, we graduate from the law of God to the grace of God. And it's important to see that. Let's look at the promise of an older gentleman by the name of Simeon. In verse 25, and I'll read verses 25 and 26. We read, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel," that is their redemption, "and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's anointed one," or the Lord's Christ. We understand that promise was given to Simeon. It hasn't been given to anyone that I know, but Simeon received this promise. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to stress here that when we started this section, we're looking at the law. We're looking at the requirements of the law, days and regulations and rules. But now, something different is happening in Israel. There's a redemption that's taking place. It's begun. The incarnation has happened. And now we have this plan of God unfolding in the fullness of time. And God is going to make us clean. He's going to fill his people with the Holy Spirit. And there's this older gentleman who has been filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's doing 3 things. He's listening. He's listening for God to speak. Are you listening? Are you listening? Am I listening? Are we listening to God and what he has to say to us through his word and in our lives? You know, Simeon means hearing. It means hearing. And it was probably an appropriate name for a man who would listen to God for his whole life. But he was also living in anticipation of God's promises. He was living. What do I mean? He was living. He was living a righteous and devout life. He was living in a way that prepared his heart for the eventuality of Christ's coming to the earth. Now, here is the thing, brothers and sisters. We are living in the last days. We are living at a time where we are in anticipation, a second advent. We are in anticipation of the Lord's return. And so for us, we are also living in anticipation of God's promises. Can I hear an amen? He was not only listening, not only living in anticipation, he was also looking for the coming Messiah. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been at the temple waiting for him to appear. There he is looking for God. And here comes this little child, maybe not what he expected. I have no way of knowing whether he expected a child or a king. But it's so wonderful when we read here, and I'll read it for you in verses 27 through 32. I'll read this section. It says, moved by the Spirit. You see, he was filled with the Spirit, but he was also moved by the Spirit. You know something? You can be filled with the Spirit and refuse to move when the Spirit calls you to move. But this man, moved by the Spirit, went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law, which is what we've talked about already, the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace, For my eyes have seen your salvation. Now understand, Jesus means the salvation of Jehovah, Jehovah's salvation. He had surely seen the salvation of the Lord in this little child. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Do we have any Gentiles here this morning? It's a light to us, not just to the Jews, for it goes on to say, and for the glory to your people Israel. A light to the Jews and to the Gentiles, as Paul said about salvation. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel, for it was the power of God unto the salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Here he mentions the Gentiles first, but also the Jews. This is God's wonderful plan of salvation, unveiled, revealed. He was moved by the Spirit. Oh yes, he was filled by the Spirit, but now he's moved by the Spirit. He responds in obedience. He recognizes the coming Messiah, and when he sees the Messiah as a little child, which, again, we are celebrating here today and at this time of year, he rejoices in God's presence because he had received God's promise. And then he reveals God's purpose. You know, there's something about that when you recognize the coming Messiah, and that's what it means to be born again. Today, you recognize the coming Messiah. Oh, it's his return, his second coming, but we recognize the coming Messiah. And in so doing, we rejoice. Amen? Well, that's not rejoicing. You got to look up the word and what it means. We rejoice. Amen? Amen. Amen. Because we have received God's promise. They had received God's promise. And now Simeon has his moment that he's been prepared for and empowered for by the Holy Spirit. He reveals God's purpose. And in verse 33, he begins to prophesy by the Holy Spirit. In verse 33, he says, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This is a prophecy, an accurate one, a very accurate one. What we see here as he begins to reveal God's purpose is he's not only filled with the Spirit, he's not only moved by the Holy Spirit. He's now prophesying by the Holy Spirit, pronouncing blessings on Joseph and Mary. I'm sure they needed that blessing. Think about what they had been through. Think about what they would go through, having to flee from Egypt, or to Egypt from Nazareth. They were about to return to Nazareth, and then from there they would flee, and people would want to kill this child, and then throughout the life, protecting that child from whatever the Satan might throw at them. They needed to be blessed, and he provides that blessing, an assurance, a comfort. And then he begins to proclaim the ministry of Messiah. You know, there are some things we're told here, and we know this to be true. We know that those that would reject him would fall. He says there that this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. And you know, that's the truth. The falling and the rising. Some fall and some rise based on what they do and how they respond to the gospel message. In fact, I just finished a series of studies on Wednesday evenings in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah, really just an evangelist in terms of proclaiming the coming Messiah, mentions many of these things. And I just want to read one for you. In chapter 8. Of Isaiah in verse 13, this is what Isaiah writes. He says, the Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. And he will be a sanctuary for both houses of Israel, he will be a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. What did Simeon say? That this child was destined to bring about the falling and the rising. You see, this is the truth. Some received him, some, many, did not. And Isaiah talks about that. Paul talks about that in Romans, and we don't have time to get into all the scriptures that address this. But there are also those that would receive him, and those that would receive him would rise again. Amen? I think about what Jesus said to Mary and to Martha as he was coming to see and to rise Lazarus from the dead. He said it this way in John's Gospel in chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. In this conversation, Jesus says to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? I have to ask you this question this morning. Do you believe this? Amen. Then you are one of those that didn't stumble over the rock of Israel, but you were able to rise and will rise again because you accept and receive the rock that many stumble over even today. His own people, he came to his own and his own received him not. His own people in large part rejected him. We know this. They railed against him. We remember on the cross them yelling to him, "If you are the Messiah, come off that cross and prove it to everyone." Even the thieves at one point around him are railing on him, making fun of him, mocking him. And so that fulfills that scripture there that Simeon says when he says in Luke's gospel, "The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." Many hearts were revealed when Jesus walked the earth. Those that loved him, those that gave their lives to him and later gave their lives for him. And those today who give their lives to Jesus Christ love him. And their hearts have been revealed. Your hearts have been revealed. Do you understand that? That by hearing the gospel, your heart has been revealed. You have not necessarily fallen over this stone that causes men to stumble, but you have fallen in love with the rock himself. Amen? And so you will rise. And so I look at Simeon's words. Boy, there's a choice to be made. Israel had a choice. The Gentiles have a choice. All of us have a choice. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. That sign was spoken against by many of his critics and many hearts revealed. But then he gets to this last section here where he says, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." It doesn't require much imagination to know what Simeon was saying to Mary. We know the day would come where she would suffer, watching her own son be brutally beaten, nailed to a cross, that he would suffer and die on that cross for our sins. Because of that intense suffering, because of what happened there and the suffering of Mary was watching it, experiencing it, seeing it, watching her precious child. I want you to think about this, mothers, you know, think about it. This is 40 days into the life of this child, and a prophet comes up and says, this child and the experience of having this child, this wonderful child, is going to pierce your soul. I think sometimes we forget that God brings us through difficult times. Amen? Things are sometimes tough. Maybe you're going through a tough time this Christmas. Maybe you recently lost someone. Maybe you're losing someone. You're in the process of losing someone. Maybe you yourself are sick. Maybe you're just going through an incredibly difficult time. You're losing your job at the end of the month. I was speaking with one of my neighbors as he was graciously using that snowblower on my driveway. And I said, "How you been? Have things been better?" He just got done fighting cancer. He's cancer-free, praise God. And he came to me, he goes, "You know, a couple of years ago, I didn't believe in the power of prayer." He goes, "Now I do. I depend on it." That's what he said to me. And he's cancer-free, praise the Lord. But then he said to me, "You know, things have been okay." I said, "Well, it seems like things have been better." He goes, "Well, I'm losing my job at the end of the month." But you know, somehow that didn't faze him. After having looked death in the face and having gone through chemo and all of his experiences, you know, somehow losing his job was not the worst thing that could happen to him. But maybe you are going through that right now. A lot of us are. Losing jobs, difficulties, sickness, trials. Mary was told at a time where she was rejoicing that ultimately, 30-some-odd years later, the birth of this child would break her heart. But you know, the truth is, she was also told that the birth of this child would bring about salvation for all eternity. Amen? She made a huge sacrifice. I don't think anyone could doubt that. And God oftentimes calls us to make sacrifices. No one made a sacrifice like Jesus himself, but I have to say, if you look at the life of Mary, certainly on this earth, there was probably no one that suffered as much as she did on that day at Calvary's cross, watching him die. And so when I look at these things and I recognize the message of Simeon, I recognize there's a lot of really wonderful lessons here. I don't have time to get into all of them. There's also Anna, who comes up and shares a message. I'll read it briefly, and then we'll close. There was a prophetess, Anna, whose name means grace, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. So listen, think about that with me. 7 years of marriage, and then what happened? Some translations say that she lived 84 years after that, so she could have been 107. But in either way, most of her life, she was a widow. 7 years, and then being a widow all that time. I'm sure that's not the way she planned things to be. And she was, no doubt, in a place of suffering as well. But here's what she does. She never left the temple, amen? She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God. Brothers and sisters, can we give thanks to God in the midst of difficult circumstances? Mary did. Joseph did. Simeon did. Anna certainly did. It says there that she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Are you looking forward to that redemption? What is that? When Christ brings us into his presence and we're made whole, made clean, made right with him. Amen? You see, that is what Anna was looking for. Oh, she was a gracious person from the area of Galilee. That's where she lived. She was greatly advanced in years, possibly 107 or at least 84, depending on how you translate that. She was an older woman, and despite her sorrow and living her life as a widow, she was a prayer warrior. She lived her life in the temple. She was wholly devoted to God, worshiping God Almighty constantly, and she was waiting for the coming Redeemer. Are you waiting for the coming Redeemer? Oh, Anna could have used the excuse, God has been unfaithful to me. I've had a bitter life, lost my husband 7 years into our marriage, and for all these years I've just hung around bitter. No. No, not at all. This is the kind of person Anna was. This is the kind of person Simeon was. This is the kind of person Mary was. A person who understood that life sometimes brings difficulty, but God has a plan. Amen? I want you to be encouraged this morning. None of these things that are happening in our lives are by chance. God is in control if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Look at verse 39. It says, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law, remember they needed to follow the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. It would be sometime, possibly years, before the wise men would show up. But the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. You see, we started this section on about the law and all the things that by the law would be required for us to be right with God. But when we get to the end of this section, and indeed this section tells us that the grace of God was upon Jesus and is upon Jesus, and he extends that grace to you. What does the word grace mean? It's unmerited favor. That is, you and I can be saved even though we've broken the law. Even though we've failed to be the kind of people that God would have us to be, even though we have failed to follow him and to worship him, and perhaps we have become bitter, and perhaps we have become unfaithful, and perhaps we have lived our lives in a way contrary to God's word, but today, the acceptable day of salvation is today. This moment, right now, you can react and respond the way that some responded in Jesus' day. Or choose to respond the way many responded. That is, will you fall? Will you stumble over this precious child, Jesus? Or will you rise again in the last day and never see death because you put your faith in this child, Jesus? Let's pray. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this portion of Scripture that follows the typical Christmas story. I thank you that it shows us that there was never a time in Jesus' life, or for that matter, in our lives, where you didn't or where you don't have a plan, where you're not working. You are always working, Lord. Lord, we acknowledge that we do have a choice to make. And like the children of Israel, those of us who are Gentiles today, or Jews today, all of us have a choice to make. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, we ask that that choice today would be made in the heart of every person here, that there would be no one that would stumble and fall over the truth of the gospel, but that everyone would cling to the rock of salvation cleft for each of us. Oh, Lord God, help us to make the right choice, to give our lives to you, that when we see that child in a manger, as our children in the fellowship portrayed for us, when we see that little baby, that child, that we wouldn't stumble over it as, oh, that's a nice story. Oh, there's Santa Claus and Christmas trees and a manger scene. Help us not to look at that little child the same way ever again. Oh, Lord, that child, our precious Savior, was born to die on a cross for our sins because each of us needed to be redeemed and we failed to keep the law. And Lord, that's what we've studied this morning. I pray that you would etch it upon everyone's heart here today. Help them to understand the truth of your love and your grace, that you sent your own dear Son to die on a cross, that we might be forgiven of our sins. And I pray that Christmas this year would be extremely special for anyone and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, we thank you for this message. Oh Lord God, we just ask that you would continue to bless our day. And as we're traveling home later, Lord, keep us safe. Lord, help us to accept difficult times and circumstances, sicknesses and trials, the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, especially around this time of year where so many of us feel the pain more deeply, where the grieving is that much more difficult to bear. May we be like Simeon, looking and listening and just looking for everything that you have for us, living in an anticipation. May we be like Anna, thanking God every day of our lives despite the difficulties we've encountered. And may we trust in Jesus, the grace of God, the salvation for all mankind. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.